Well, I know you all have a map on the back of your bulletin, but it won't much help today because we really don't know where they went. We are in Acts chapter 27, verses 27 through 37, and it is a terrifying, terrifying passage. You'll see men who are lifelong sailors in terror out in the middle of the sea, being driven by this tempestuous storm. And so someplace from Crete for the next 2 weeks, they get driven by this storm. So I'm in Acts chapter 27 and verse 27. Now as the 14th night had come, we were being driven to and fro in the Adriatic Sea. So we don't even know where. It's just this hurricane force wind is pushing the boat that Paul is on, initially on the way to Rome, but caught, as we've been studying going through these chapters, caught in a huge storm. About the middle of the night, the sailors were suspecting that they were drawing near to some land. I'm not sure how you can tell that there's land. I try to avoid ships and boats. Those of you who are Navy may have a better understanding of that. But apparently they thought they might be getting near some land. So they were taking depth readings. We would say soundings, but that's a modern term, isn't it? The sounding is where you send a ping down and it comes back and you measure the time that it takes to hit the bottom and bounce back. But in this case, what they had were ropes or twine, a cord of some sort with a pretty serious weight on it, and they throw it overboard, and then they did fathoms. So a fathom is this. This is a fathom, about 6 feet. Okay, so, you know, it might be a little bit this way, a little bit that way, but most of us, it's about 6 feet. So having taken depth readings, they found 20 fathoms, so 6 times 20. You know, water's pretty deep. How do you know that there's land down there? Now, having gone a little further, and again, having read, they found 15 fathoms. So it's getting less. And fearing lest into a place of rocks we should fall, they were throwing anchors out of the stern. 4 anchors, they threw them out of the stern. But that's not what carries verse 29. What carries verse 29 is they were praying for the day to come. And it's an imperfect tense. So these sailors and the people on this ship, they've lost all hope. They're down to their last hope, and that's prayer. And in this case, they're praying that the day would come. That morning would finally come. Verse 30. Now, the sailors, self-serving as they may be, were seeking to flee out of the ship. And having lowered the skiff, remember they took the little boat that was behind the boat. On these ocean ships, they would have no lifeboats, but they did have a skiff, a small boat, that they towed behind. And right after they left Crete, they went under the south side of Clauda, I believe is the name of that little island, and Cotta, and they managed to get that skiff on the ship. So the sailors in verse 30, having lowered the skiff into the sea under the pretense as if they were about to put anchors out of the prow. So they already have 4 anchors at the back. This is to try to slow this boat down. So the ship has ropes going under the thing to hold it together. They've already thrown off all the baggage, all the luggage, all the tackle, everything that's not directly attached to the Roman government, namely the grain. They've already pitched overboard, and now they're putting anchors out, trying to slow this thing down. Well, the sailors figuring that since there's a reduction in the depth of the ocean, land is close by, they're going to get in this little skiff and leave the rest of them to their plight. So under the pretense of putting anchors out of the prow, they're going to try and flee this doomed vessel. Verse 31. And notice in verse 31, there's no conjunction here. You can see Paul, who's gone from a prisoner giving advice, admonishing them. Now he's gone from conferring with the owner and the centurion who's making the ultimate decisions, and the captain. So these three guys, plus Paul, now you see Paul stepping up and issuing orders. Paul stood and said to the centurion and the soldiers. So Paul is issuing the commands here. It's kind of really fun to watch the progression as things go on. Unless these should remain in the ship, you are not being able to be saved. This isn't superstition. This amounts to you being on a doomed airplane. And you watch the captain, the co-pilot, and the radar man all leave the autopilot on and getting parachutes on. Okay? So it's, you know, what happens if you watch the pilot, the three in the front, bail out? What are the chances of a good landing? One of my favorite movies is Airplane. Y'all ever watch Airplane? Oh, just great movie. Then they're still playing it. That thing was made, I think, in the 80s. If you like puns, that's the one to go to. So what are the chances of this ship having a safe landing if the sailors are bailing? So that's the point here. So unless these remain in the ship, it's not possible for you to be saved. Verse 32. And while they didn't know anything about boats, soldiers did know a whole lot about swords. Then the soldiers, verse 32, chopped off the ropes. You can see them, whack, you know, the sailors jumping back as the soldiers come rushing in. They chopped off the ropes of the skiff and let it fall as it crashes down into the sea. Now, as the day, that day for which they had been praying, as the daylight was beginning about to come, Paul was encouraging them all. This is a different word than we saw last week. Here, now he's encouraging them. Before, he's admonishing them. But now he's helping them to take a different view of what's going on. He was encouraging them to take food, saying, 14th, today is the 14th day. You should know how hard it is to say 14th in Greek. Tessar eskai dekatein. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 syllables. This is the 14th day. Today is the 14th day. Waiting anxiously, day by day, going day by day without food, having eaten nothing. Verse 33. Is where I'm translating. So for 14 days, nobody has taken any serious food. No rest, no just terror. This fear of dread that can't see the sun, can't see the stars, no idea where they are, fearful that they'd be driven into the sandbars off of North Africa. They take all the rigging down and just let the boat be blown by the storm. So for 14 days, they've been making really good time, but they have no idea where they are or where their ship is headed. Verse 34, wherefore, I am encouraging you to take nourishment, to take food, for this is to your salvation. You need to stop, you need to eat. Paul is the one in charge of this. An angel has given him revelation, And he knows what he's talking about. He's already told them that. We looked at that last week. But now it's time for them to act by faith and listen to the apostle who's given to them the word of God. That what the angel has said, he is saying to them. And he says, you need to do this. Paul knows that they're going to be run aground. He's already told them this. On a certain island. We're going to see where he actually lands, Lord willing, next week. But he knows where they're headed. And he wants them to take nourishment. They need this because they're going to have to swim in from wherever they crash. So this is for your salvation. Do this. Take food. And the food here, he says, is for your benefit. You need to have it. You need to take it. Again, verse 34. For not the least of you, a hair out of the head will fall. So from the small to the great, from the important to the unimportant, God has given all 276 people to the Apostle Paul. And so he's now functioning as the leader, as the pastor, as the captain, as the owner, as the centurion. Paul is now the one in charge of this boat. How cool is this? And he tells them, you need to eat, be encouraged, stop being terrified. God's going to deliver you. You're not going to lose a single hair of your head. Now, for myself and for some of you all, I know that's really, really important, not to lose any hair off the top of your head. It's not going to happen. You're going to be safe and secure. He's already told them it's a complete loss of the ship and the cargo and everything else, but God has given the souls on this boat. In fact, right after this, and tipping their hat to the Roman government, they're going to throw all the grain overboard as well. You want it? It's down at the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea. So they empty out the ship and they're going to drive this thing until it's time for it to hit. And if you look on your way cool map, you can see where it ends up. It looks like a straight line, and it may have been. We don't know where they went, except it was to and fro, up and down is literally what it says in the Greek. Verse 35. Now, having said these things and having taken bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And having broken it, he began to eat. So here, following the tradition of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul on the deck of this boat with 276 people watching, he loops his leg, I'm sure, around some kind of a mast or a post or something, and puts his arm around it because this is a tempest-tossed vessel. And he takes the bread in front of him and he lifts it up to heaven and gives thanks to God for the food. And then he breaks it and he took it and ate it in their presence. Now, they all became hopeful. In fact, the first word in verse 36 is hopeful. Seeing the Apostle Paul hold the bread up to heaven and give thanks to the Father for the provision. Now all of a sudden they say, look, if he can do that, we can do that. They become hopeful. And then they all begin to take to themselves nourishment to food. And there were in that boat 276. Paul received revelation from the Lord Jesus, from an angel, but God gave him direct revelation for this particular event. And because of that, he acted in a particular way. He showed a confidence that no one else ever dreamt of. As a believer in Christ, your faith makes you intrinsically different. While non-believers have no idea, non-Christians have no idea where this world is headed, and they say, where is this world headed? You know the answer to that. You know exactly what's going on. We know that we are in the end times. We know that because of Matthew 24 and 25. the Olivet Discourse, the nation rising against nation, Israel back in the land for the final time, which is the second time according to Isaiah, and the increase in pestilence and earthquakes, these things that Christ told us would happen. We know that we are in the end times. We know that this world is headed to a division of 10 regions, each of which has a ruler, 10 kings out of a global kingdom. And we know out of one of those is going to come Antichrist. We know that before the great and terrible day of the Lord, which starts when the Antichrist makes a covenant with Israel, that Elijah will come and he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. We believe that Scripture indicates there's going to be a global, a worldwide ingathering of people, especially among the Jews, before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we know these things. So while your co-workers and relatives are driven by fear, you can have confidence. Your faith in Jesus makes you intrinsically different. And while Paul had specific revelation from an angel about that event, he acted on it. And he lived by faith. And he gave instructions by faith. And he gave thanks to the Lord. And he was aiming and succeeded in rescuing all of the people on this boat. And as things moved forward, I think they became believers as well. You'll see this as we go forward in this passage. But even right here, they watch him, they hear his message, and they believed it. How do you know they believed? Because they ate. They stopped their terror. They were encouraged. And they took food to themselves. I don't know what kind of trouble you are facing right now in your life. The sermon title, In the Presence of My Enemies. You think about Psalm 23 and David at war. Many times of his life running for his life and fighting even within his own family. His life was threatened. You spread a table for me in the presence of my enemies. In the face of an overwhelming storm that threatened every person to the core of their being, they were terrified. Paul stands up, takes the bread, blesses the Father, breaks the bread, and enjoys life that God has given. Your faith in Jesus makes you intrinsically different. So as you face the problems of life, the storms, the enemies, whatever it is that you're facing, don't forget, like Paul, do what he did. Let your faith guide you into being a presence in a chaotic world. You know what God is doing. Let's pray.